host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is ophthalmologist and eye surgeon Dr. Stephen L. Maskin. Dr. Maskin is the medical director of the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, the proud sponsor of today's show. At the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, Dr. Maskin specializes in solving difficult dry eye and cornea disorders with patients traveling from over 35 states and 5 continents for his evaluation. He has written a best-selling, award-winning book, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome, published by Yale University Press. Dr. Maskin manages dry eye disorders using, when needed, innovative medical and surgical therapies, including the use of placenta-derived amniotic membrane, a new patent-pending natural eye lubricant to provide relief for dry eye sufferers, an exciting new procedure to unblock obstructed tear glands, and a topical cure for eye surface cancer. Dr. Maskin has successfully managed difficult dry eye cases for over 20 years and is board-certified, fellowship-trained, and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons and American Academy of Ophthalmology. He has been selected a Best Doctor in America every year from 2000 through 2010. And as an America's Top Ophthalmologist by Consumers Research Council of America, we hope the Focus on Females education programs, including this show, will help you and your family find the health care that works for you. Focus on Females believes in saving lives and protecting families. And please visit drmaskin.com. And if you have not found relief for your painful red, dry eyes, come in to see Dr. Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where comfortable eyes lead to restored lives.
Join Talk Radio 860 WGUL in honoring defenders of freedom at the 52nd annual Brandon 4th of July Parade. Starting at 6:30 at the corner of Lakewood and Brandon Parkway with celebrity Grand Marshal Ryan Neese. WGUL thanks our parade sponsor, Hillsborough County Commissioner and retired Naval Officer Mark Sharp, riding in the Need to Know Information Assault Vehicle. It's the 52nd annual Brandon 4th of July Parade, presented by the Brandon Community Roundtable. Online at brandonroundtable.com.
The content of the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is for informational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare show. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. Focus on Females does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on the radio show. Reliance on any information provided by Focus on Females or others appearing on the show at the invitation of Focus on Females is solely at your own risk. Now, it's time for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Here, we create clarity out of confusion and guide you through today's healthcare maze. Each week, we'll focus on a different medical topic with a guest expert answering your questions. Future topics and guests can be seen at www.focusonfemales.com. Call in between 12:30 and 1 p.m. on Sundays and present your case to our experts. To get involved with today's clinic, call now in Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Be proactive with your health. We're here to focus on you. And now, our host, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
The Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is on, and today we are tackling blepharitis. And by the way, happy Independence Day for everybody. But first, this radio show and the free annual Focus on Females Women's Healthcare Symposium, now the largest in the country with 1,800 women, are supported by the not-for-profit Focus on Females Education Foundation, whose mission is to create an interactive, dynamic, community-based health safety net, making you an expert on your personal medical needs. The result? Better partnering with your existing doctor leading to more effective office visits, faster results, and a reduced economic burden of avoidable medical and emergency care. We save lives and protect families. And today, as I mentioned, we are tackling blepharitis. And many of you have heard the term blepharitis. Some may know what it is. Many of you may know what it is. Others may have heard it and not know what it is, and yet others may have never heard it. But I can tell you this, blepharitis is nearly ubiquitous. Almost everybody has had blepharitis at some point in their lives. And what it is, of course, is inflammation of the eyelid. Blef referring to lid, and itis, of course, inflammation of. Blepharitis usually is not a severe condition. That is, it usually is mild or moderate. However, blepharitis could greatly impact the quality of your life. For example, blepharitis could cause burning, contact lens intolerance, red eyes, red lids, decreased vision, dry eyes, loss of eyelashes, and styes. And more than that, when you go to have any kind of eye surgery, blepharitis, if uncontrolled, can actually be the major risk to develop an intraoperative or postoperative infection called endophthalmitis, which could steal your vision permanently. This, therefore, is very important to identify if you have blepharitis. And really, even if you're not looking at having surgery, eye surgery, whether it be cataract or glaucoma or retina or any eye surgery in the near future, but nevertheless, it is smart to not allow blepharitis to evolve and develop. Because once it does, it's harder to control. It's more uncomfortable to get it under control because the tissues are inflamed. So it's smart to identify and treat it. And of course, let's get into a little bit more particulars here. I may also add one other point regarding having blepharitis, and that is that the patient themselves, you yourself, may be unhappy with your appearance. Friends and colleagues may associate the red eyes with crying or drug use or other types of personal issues, which may not be a good idea if you're out looking for a job or if you're just trying to make a good impression. So these are very important life-impacting issues. And when we think about blepharitis, there's really, and in the eyelid for that matter, there are two, we think about in two major areas. That is to say, the front of the lid and the back of the lid. We can think about it both anatomically as well as the type of problem that one develops if the blepharitis is so-called anterior or posterior. For example, anterior blepharitis is normally associated with the eyelashes and the follicle of the eyelashes. This is typically an infectious process. It's usually bacterial, most commonly staph. It can be allergic, but it also can be even parasitic. And more we're finding that evidence suggesting that parasites called Demodex mites are playing a role in the chronic inflammation of the eyelid, which can cause redness of the ocular surface. And the redness, of course, is inflammation causing red eyes and disruption of the tear film, which does affect the quality of your sight. Now, blepharitis, just to kind of put things in perspective, blepharitis, as well as dry eye and allergy and decreased tear clearance, for example, or other components of what we consider ocular surface disease. And these are issues that make your eyes uncomfortable, as indicated earlier. It's very challenging and requires a fair amount of time in the office. Sometimes I spend a couple hours with a patient face-to-face to sort through these different diagnoses because the discomfort of the eye can be caused by a number of these different ocular surface disorders in various different degrees. So the key thing is to identify what is going on to make the patient uncomfortable and then to prioritize these disorders as to the relative importance and then to target therapy, initiate targeted therapy on the major causes of the discomfort, and then work your way down the list to the patient is rendered comfortable. And once again, restoring comfort to that patient's eyes restores their lives. And we've seen over and over again the impact on patients' lives once you do give them the restoration of comfort for their eyes. So, as alluded to then, the anterior blepharitis is mostly infectious, but the posterior blepharitis is not, typically. That is to say, the posterior blepharitis, the posterior aspect of the eyelid, are glands, oil glands, sebaceous-like glands called meibomian glands, which secrete an oil for the tear film. That oil resides on top of the watery tear to reduce evaporation and stabilize the tear, making the eye comfortable and preserving quality vision through a smooth tear film. Now, it is true that bacteria can participate in the pathology, the disease of abnormal oil secretions, but primarily we have to think of the meibomian gland dysfunction, that is posterior blepharitis, that's one and the same thing, as a disease of the oil-producing meibomian glands, which was a major area of research and ongoing interest in, of mine, both in training as well as in my private practice. Now, what happens in the meibomian gland dysfunction, which, by the way, is the incidence of this is in fact, I should say that meibomian gland dysfunction is felt to be the major cause of what we know we describe now as evaporative dry eye, or dry eye due to rapid tear film evaporation. And meibomian gland dysfunction is the major cause of evaporative dry eye, and may be the most common cause of all of dry eye. It is seen in by itself alone. It's seen in frequent company of Sjogren's syndrome, which is a systemic disease attacking the lacrimal glands, or even age-related watery tear deficiency. It's seen frequently in all types of ocular surface diseases. And the most common most common presentation is what's called obstructive meibomian gland dysfunction. That is to say, the glands get obstructed, so the flow of the oil or meibom is impeded, leading to inflammation and sty formation and lid tenderness, as well as other symptoms such as a heavy feeling lid or irritative, uncomfortable lid and eye. Sometimes it can even cause an itchy eyelid. So this is kind of an overview of the anterior blepharitis and posterior blepharitis. So you are thinking along the lines of anterior blepharitis, usually infectious disease, posterior blepharitis, abnormal and obstructed oil glands. And by the way, another point regarding the oil glands, the meibomian gland dysfunction or obstructed oil glands, often also seen in the setting of rosacea, which of course is a skin condition characterized by easily flushed facial blood vessels, and also seen, for example, in other disorders such as fibromyalgia. I mentioned Sjogren's syndrome, and really many, many other systemic diseases as well. So we haven't yet talked about therapy. We'll do so as we will speak with a couple of patients during the hour. And I think now what we'll do is go to a quick break, come back, and speak with some patients and talk about therapy of blepharitis on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. I'll be right back.
The Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. More in a few moments.
This radio healthcare program is brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 5th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, March 27, 2010, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida 33679-2702. Thank you.
Do your eyes have a foreign body sensation or are scratchy and sandy? Do they burn, sting, or itch, or are heavy and tired? Maybe your eyes are sensitive to light or your eyelids achy and sore. Have you seen countless doctors and still can't find relief? Have they told you, sorry, but you'll have to live with this and nothing can be done for you? Well, first, it's likely you suffer from dry eye. And second, don't stand for those answers anymore. Just because someone else doesn't understand your dry eye problems, go to the only eye doctor in Central Florida that specializes exclusively in dry eye and related diseases. Meet with Dr. Stephen Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where you will be given up to 2 hours of face-to-face time with a doctor to get at the root cause of your dry eye pain, fluctuating vision, and redness, plus begin targeted therapy right away. Haven't you waited long enough?
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back. Welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. We're tackling blepharitis today, a condition of inflammation of the lids, which causes all kinds of abnormal vision. It can cause contact lens intolerance, uncomfortable, irritated eyes, red eyes, and very importantly as well, increase your risk for serious infectious complications of any eye surgery. So it's important to identify it and treat it. Now, we talked about how blepharitis is thought of in two categories. One is anterior blepharitis, which is the infectious type of blepharitis, and the second type is posterior blepharitis, or meibomian gland dysfunction, where the disease is focused on the abnormal eyelid glands, the meibomian glands, which produce oil for the tear film to optimize the quality of vision and comfort of the eye. Now, thinking about the posterior blepharitis and the meibomian gland dysfunction, the traditional therapy has been warm compresses and massage for really generations and generations. Antibiotics are sometimes used, like tetracycline, minocycline, doxycycline, that family of antibiotics, not necessarily because of the antibiotic properties, but because of its ability to inhibit inflammation, seems to be of some help in some patients. More recently, omega-3 fatty acids, trying to improve the quality of the oil secretion. Sometimes topical steroids are used. And again, other antibiotics are sometimes used. More recently, antibiotics are being looked at as a new type of antibiotics are being looked at as a possible adjunct therapy for this disease. And we've been doing some research in the office, and we have been able now for the first time to actually pass a probe inside the gland, and we're finding that there are abnormalities in the duct of that gland, which we're able to relieve, or actually open up the resistance, what's being suggested, or looks like a scar or membrane. And when we do so, we're finding wonderful results with dramatic and immediate improvement in patient symptoms. And on the line now is Kathleen. Kathleen, welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Hi, Dr. Maskin.
And we were talking about meibomian gland dysfunction, and I should first say thanks for being with us today and being available here on this July 4th weekend.
Yep, no problem. I'm glad to do it.
And we were talking about the meibomian gland dysfunction and the problems and that can cause patients, and sometimes it can cause symptoms that you're not even aware of until after, for example, the disease has been brought under control. And in your case, you're 37 years of age, correct?
Correct.
And you've had problems with lid tenderness. Would you share with our listeners what your eyes have felt like and about the lid tenderness and so forth that you've had for over at least 2 years?
Yes, exactly, 2 years. It started out, where I was noticing that I had, minor changes in my eyes, and, some time went on, and every day I was struggling with, pulling at my lids and just really uncomfortable heaviness, tired all the time. And, you know, I was getting plenty of rest, and it was just, you know, my eyes were just failing every afternoon. And so this went on for, you know, quite some time, just pulling and tugging and, you know, being irritable. And I saw, you know, a couple, you know, different eye doctors, and they suggested, you know, over the counter natural tears, hydrating contact lenses, you know, all kinds of, you know, different drops and things like that. I even stopped wearing my contact lenses for a while just because I thought my eyes needed a break. And, you know, I just wasn't getting any relief. You know, every afternoon, 3 to 4 o'clock, I would just become extremely irritable, just pulling constantly at, you know, just, you know, my eyes were just, you know, they were failing, and I just couldn't get anything done, and they were just really dictating, you know, what I could do on a regular basis. You know, every night I'd be done by 8 o'clock. I just couldn't function. And by the end of 2008, I had went to see another eye doctor, and he put me on Restasis. And, you know, that gave me some temporary relief, but I was still, you know, pulling and tugging and just really limited in what I could do. And by the early part of 2009, I had started to get some headaches, and I really started to get concerned. I was like, you know, something has to be done. I just, you know, I would just break down in tears. And, you know, that was actually some relief for me, was that, you know, they were just dry all the time. And so crying was, you know, a way to actually help at times.
Emotional tears.
And, you know, my husband, you know, poor thing, he doesn't understand, you know, what I'm trying to describe, you know, to explain every day that you have an eye problem and this heaviness I'm feeling and, you know, not wanting to do anything and just to close your eyes is, you know, just really hard to deal with. And so I finally made an appointment with your office, and, you know, when I came in to see you and you told me that, you know, there was something that you could do for me, after the consultation, you stepped out of the room, I actually broke down in your office, and I was like, oh, my gosh, he can help me.
Well, Kathleen, before we go further, I want to comment on a couple of points you made. I think it's very important for our listeners. Number one, the fact that you were developing headaches.
Mm-hmm.
So the chronicity, the length of time you had these eye problems, the discomfort, the irritation, at some point it can create headaches. It can create tension headaches throughout your entire head. It can affect your ability to read. It could affect your brow aching. It could really start to affect your entire life, and it's not simply an eye issue, but it can really an eye issue is actually a big thing, because it can affect the quality of your life, your relationships, your ability to function, work, and that when other people look at you, that maybe your friends, colleagues, spouse, family, the eyes may not be red. Your eyes may not be red, and yet the owner of those eyes, the patient, you, are going through tremendous problems with your eyes, which are not enabling you to function properly and happily.
Oh, exactly. I mean, it really, really weighed heavily on me. I mean, I you know, I do a lot of reading and stuff. I have an internet business. I do a lot of work online. And, you know, I just couldn't get a full day's worth of work in, you know. And on top of that, you know, in the evening, I couldn't even, like, function with my family. It'd be like, you know, I just want to snap at somebody, you know. And the tension headaches were, you know, causing me to take Motrin on a regular basis, and I knew that wasn't right. And it just really debilitating.
Another great point you just made. And this goes back to it, making an accurate diagnosis, because it's a domino effect. When your eyes are not proper, when they're not comfortable, and it's not brought under control, what happens next? Headache, aching, back of the head. The brow. Typically what happens, patients go to the doctors and they wind up getting imaging of the brain, make sure there's no tumor or some other abnormality inside the brain.
Yep.
That's normal. And then the patients start taking medication to relieve the discomfort, Motrin, or even more serious. And, of course, now in the news is, the severe narcotic-like drugs that some, you know, performers, entertainers, and so forth get because of ongoing pain. Well, in this case, this pain is identifiable.
Right.
We can diagnose and treat it and relieve it, provide relief. And so all that, a domino effect, a downstream effect of uncontrolled eye problems can be averted.
Right, right. And I thought, you know, I really thought that I was going to have to see a neurologist. Mm-hmm. I'm like, the headaches now. I mean, maybe it's not my eyes. Maybe it's, you know, something wrong with my brain.
That's right.
And so, you know, I was just really, at this point, really freaked out because I just didn't really know what was going on. And I had seen, you know, other doctors, and I just wasn't getting anywhere. And you know, just try these drops, you know, this is, and I was sort of like, okay, well, I guess Restasis is what I have to do for the rest of my life. And you know, that was uncomfortable as well, you know, burning and, you know, dropping these things in your eyes twice a day and, you know, just, and still not getting 100% relief.
And I think it's important here also to note that every patient has to be individualized, where some patients may benefit, and you actually benefit a little bit, mm-hmm. but it wasn't sufficient. When I look at a patient, evaluate a patient, as you know, my goal is to actually cure or reverse their symptoms.
Right.
So they don't have to take drops the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking to really reverse the abnormalities that they have, so they can function once again and have their lives restored.
And be normal.
And be normal, and not have to think that they have to go to a neurologist or neurosurgeon for that matter and have issues.
Right.
Now, we'll be right back with more on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Kathleen, if you can stay with us, we'll be back in a flash.
Okay.
Cool the day. Cool, or you don't pay. Cool, I think that it's time for a cool change. A service for your home. We'll be there when you need us most.
Victimized by illegal immigration, Arizona is fighting to protect its citizens. Instead of enforcing the law and strengthening the border, the Obama administration is encouraging an irresponsible boycott. Hi, it's Mike Gallagher. Our friends at Town Hall have created ArizonaStrong.com. Log on today to sign our free petition and show your support for the rule of law in Arizona. Say no to states and cities that want to boycott Arizona. Keep Arizona strong. Join with us and declare your solidarity at ArizonaStrong.com. That's ArizonaStrong.com.
I'm Dr. Bill Handelman for CanCare Clinic at Bay Area Medical with your summer health and wellness tip. Do you have kids or grandkids around the pool? Protect toddlers from drowning. Keep fence gates closed and locked. In the house, make sure doors are closed and childproof. And for all your medical needs, call me, Dr. Bill Handelman at Bay Area Medical, 727-384-6411, or on the web at BayAreaMed.com. That's BayAreaMed.com.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back with Kathleen on the line, and we talking about blepharitis and posterior blepharitis is what we're starting out talking about, which is inflammation of the meibomian glands, the glands that make up the posterior aspect of the lid, and these glands get obstructed. They make an oil for the tear film. So, Kathleen, we're talking about now when you came to the office, and in my evaluation, I identified that your lids were tender, and we decided to go ahead and probe the lids, which is a new therapy, innovative therapy that I alluded to earlier in the show that we recently presented to a large group of actually about 10,000 ophthalmologists and other eye doctors and those interested in the eye field this March of this year, the dramatic and immediate improvement in symptoms. And would you like to share with the listeners how it went?
Oh, yes. It was awesome. you know, I had the procedure done. I went home, and the next morning I woke up, and I felt great. My eyes were actually hydrated. I mean, it was the first
without crying.
Without crying. It was like the first time in, I mean, almost a year and a half that I had, you know, actually woke up in the morning and didn't have the tightness. And, you know, the same way that I felt when I went to bed, you know, tired and tight. And when I woke up, I, you know, sort of opened my eyes slowly, and I was like, wow, I actually have hydration. My husband said, how do you feel this morning, honey? How are your eyes? And I said, I have eye juice, which is really a strange expression, but that's, I was just so ecstatic and I felt normal, you know? And it was just amazing. And every morning now I'm not struggling with that, you know, feeling of being tired, and I feel like I'm getting longer days. You know, I can get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and read late at night and be up and do studies and be up until 2 or 3 a.m. and still feel fine. And it's just an amazing improvement.
How are you sleeping better?
I'm sleeping better. I'm not irritable. My husband, a couple of days after I had the procedure, I was bouncing around the house and we were talking, and he looked at me and said, you know, honey, I haven't seen you smile like this in a long time. And
oh, that's great.
It really made me feel like, you know, wow, he's been suffering along with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Having to live with someone that's been irritable, you know, dealing with this problem. And I feel great. I feel normal.
You've not had to manipulate your lids?
Nope. I every now and then, I mean, I get tired, you know, but that's normal. That's what's supposed to happen if you, you know, had a long day and so forth. And that's the way I feel like it should be. Not that my eyes are just giving out and that, you know, I have to shut down because my eyes want me to, you know. So, you know, my body was like ready to go, but my eyes just wouldn't allow me to. And now I feel like that's been restored and I can really function.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah.
And the good news is you don't have to see that neurologist after
all. Right, exactly.
Well, Kathleen, I want to thank you again so much for taking time on this July 4th holiday to share with our listeners the impact of, number one, the proper diagnosis, and number two, the very targeted, innovative therapy that can be offered to patients and really restore comfort to your eyes and restore your life as well.
Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Okay.
Have a great day.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
You bet. And also on the line is Francis. Francis, you're on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. How are you today, Francis?
I'm doing fine.
Great. It's good to see you, or good to hear you. Francis is another patient of mine. And Francis, I just wanted to, if you were able to, share with the listeners your experience. You had a similar problem as Kathleen, and with the posterior blepharitis, the inflammation of the glands, and we went ahead and probed your glands. And what do you think about that?
It actually was like Kathleen said, it was awesome, and I had soreness and tears, you know, the dryness, everything. But it just helps you to, like, we're at the beach and I'm living a more normal life. I can open my eyes wider. We can get the contact in and out better.
Now, this is, the Francis is a very, has had some eye issues over the years. She's required corneal transplants. She's required glaucoma operations. She's had a lot going on. And it's very important to not lose sight of other issues. One could easily just focus on the transplant, the glaucoma operation, and lose sight of other issues like the blepharitis that she has. And in doing so, you really, it's a disservice to the patient. The patient's uncomfortable. And not only that, as we talked about before, it can increase the risk of complications and problems. So it's important to get Frances' blepharitis under control. And so we did offer her this new innovative approach. And you had mentioned to us, what do you think about the vision? Has it improved your vision?
The vision is much better, and also my peripheral vision.
Mm-hmm, which is essential.
I can definitely open the eyelid, you know, wider, and it's more comfortable. It's amazing. I can't believe that it really happened.
And, of course, for a glaucoma patient, any bit of vision is critically important because, of course, glaucoma reduces your peripheral vision at the outset. And so it's very important, any bit of extra vision that you can get, both as far as clarity of vision as well as increased peripheral vision, really makes a tremendous impact.
Well, we had, I've had a lot of fun with my granddaughters here from Texas, and I was able to get out in the water and play in the waves a little bit.
Excellent.
And to me, that's important, Dr. Maskin, for making that happen.
Well, that's great. Frances, I want to thank you so much for joining us on this July 4th holiday, taking time to share with our listeners. Is there anything else you want to share before we say goodbye?
Well, I just really have the, you know, the overall improvement.
Mm-hmm.
It was wonderful, and the soreness, I just can't believe it. That's what I want to share.
Great. All right. Thanks again, friends. Have a great day.
Thank you.
You bet. All right. And we're going to take a quick break and come back. We'll be talking with the patient who we've been treating her anterior blepharitis and the impact on her eyes in a flash. We'll be right back with Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
This radio healthcare program is brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 5th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, March 27, 2010, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida 33679-2702. Thank you. Confused about dry eye? Not getting answers as to why your eyes are so red and painful and your blurry vision that gets a little better with a good blink? Now you can learn all about dry eye, the causes, treatments, and home remedies from the number one best-selling consumer book on dry eye problems, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome by Dr. Stephen Maskin. Published by Yale University Press, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome has been selected as a 2008 Best Book of the Year by the Association of American University Presses and a 2007 Best Consumer Health Book by Library Journal. Find answers for your dry eye. Go to your bookstore and pick up a copy of Reversing Dry Eye. You'll be glad you did.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Welcome back to Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. We are tackling blepharitis today. I'm Steve Maskin. Any questions at all about your eyes, 289-1860, that's 289-1860, or outside of our Hillsborough County, 877-969-8600. And remember, blepharitis is nearly ubiquitous. It affects many, many people, and the more you know about it, the as far as how to identify it and manage it, the better off you are in the form of comfort and in the form of quality of your vision. And, of course, as mentioned before, if you are in need of any kind of eye surgery, the blepharitis needs to be brought under control. Otherwise, you run risk of developing serious and catastrophic intraoperative and postoperative infectious complications with potential permanent loss of the eye. So we are now going to be talking about anterior blepharitis, back to the front of the eyelid, which is usually anterior blepharitis is usually infectious, most commonly staph, but it can be other types of bacteria. It can be even parasites. Now, the traditional therapy for that is Johnson & Johnson's, for example, No More Tears Baby Shampoo. There's a product called OcuSoft Wipes. More recently, Sterilid Foam. All these are kind of agents to clean off the lashes and try to, that is the base of the lashes, and try to remove any infectious elements. Sometimes when the When the disorder or the infection does not respond to these therapies, we sometimes have to culture the lashes, lash margins, and identify the bacteria and or or fungus or yeast sometimes, and we would treat the patient according to the sensitivities that the organism responds to as far as in the laboratory. Sometimes we have to use an antibiotic ointment. Other times the infectious agent is not a bacteria or a fungus or yeast. It can be a parasite. It can be a mite. And again, recent evidence and studies showing that there is a mite called Demodex mite, which is frequently found in sebaceous glands of the body, for example, the face very commonly, but also can be found on the eyelids, on the lashes, where they can feast and they can reside amongst the sebaceous glands of the eyelid. We talked before about the meibomian glands, and there's even other types of sebaceous glands that are in association with the lash follicle. So these sebaceous glands can sometimes be infested, really, with these parasites. And on the line is Shannon. Shannon, welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Thanks, Dr. Maskin.
Thank you for stopping in today on the July 4th holiday and taking a few minutes of your day.
No problem.
Tell our listeners, if you would, Shannon, the symptoms you were having that we ultimately found was related to mites.
Well, for me, it was a combination of red eyes, kind of like pink eyes, a weepy feeling in my eyes, and a small amount of sort of discharge crustiness around my eyes.
Okay, and that was beyond the lashes themselves?
Yeah, exactly. Though the pinkness of my eyes was obviously just in the eyes themselves.
How about itching of the lids?
Oh, definitely, sure. That's one of the things that drives you to decide to make an appointment and get this dealt with.
See, this is very, very important because, you know, normally people think itch, allergy. Well, that's true to some extent, to a large extent, but not necessarily. And it goes back to what I was saying earlier in the hour. The most number one important thing in any medical problem is to identify the underlying cause of the disease or the symptom. That is to say, diagnostics over and over again. Accurate diagnosis is key to resolving the problem. In your case, you know, I'm sure, you know, if your spouse or family, you talk to them and says, my eyes are itchy, the first thing that's going to come to mind is, okay, you got an allergy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so what's important is to identify the underlying cause. In your case, you had an infection, a treatable infection, but you wouldn't otherwise know unless you were examined.
Right. And I'll tell you, I didn't waste any time in terms of getting in and getting this looked at, because my impression is that this sort of thing may not go away by itself, and if left untreated, just make it worse.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. And, of course, you put your finger on a very important concept, and that is that when you have red eyes, red means inflammation, and then when you have inflamed ocular surfaces, that is, the eyes are red, then that will impact the other tissues of the ocular surface, such as your watery tear glands, such as your meibomian or oil-producing glands. It can also create other problems that are related to the surface of the eye. So it goes back to the domino effect of how if you don't identify, treat, and resolve a problem early on, it can not just that problem itself won't necessarily or can get worse, but also other downstream or domino effect kinds of problems will also appear and continue to progress.
Mm-hmm.
So your thinking was right on.
That's a good thing to hear.
So what we do in the office is to when I examine the patient, as you know, Shannon, so when I see the patient, I look very carefully at the root of the lash. And there are signs that strongly suggest that there's a possibility of a parasite infection. And what we do is we remove the suspicious lashes and we place them under a microscope. Did you see the mite? Did I show it to you?
I think you did, yeah. I mean, it's been a little bit, but I think that was the case.
Yeah. So we can actually, under a microscope, look at it, the mite, the Demodex mite, and we put it in some alcohol to kind of stir it up, and we actually can see it move its legs. Because it's unhappy now that we've taken it out of its nice, comfortable position on the lid, and so we can see it and see it move around, and that of course is diagnostic for having this kind of problem. So, once diagnosed, then we initiated treatment, and we'd like to share with our patients, with our listeners, what treatment we used for you.
Well, in my case, this was a remarkably easy thing to take care of. I left the office with a one-page management of this infection of the eyelashes handout, and it basically prescribed just a few things. First thing was the tea tree shampoo lid scrub, and this is a type of shampoo that's very easily found here in the greater Tampa Bay area and probably beyond there, and that's just a matter of massaging your eyelashes, eyebrows, nostrils, and ears, because who knows where those little mites are living once you've got them.
That's right. Whenever there's a sebaceous gland, there can be a mite there.
Yeah, exactly. So that was one step in the treatment. There was a recommendation that if you have used facial makeup in your home, you should get rid of that. That, you know, wasn't an issue for me. I'm not a makeup person, but it was good to have it on this one piece of paper, you know, easy to refer to. And then I think for me the biggest second part of this was to switch from washing sheets and pillowcases and so forth in cold water and to start washing them once a week in hot water and drying in a hot dryer. And that, you know, is intended to just eliminate these little critters from the bedding so that I'm not constantly getting reinfected.
Exactly. And that's why we recommend discarding the used facial makeup and the eye makeup as well for those people that use eye makeup,
right. The
mascara and so forth, which could harbor, you know, so many different types of organisms. And sometimes, of course, I guess the younger populations of women share with their friends and so forth, which is one should never do. I just want to make a point that when you use the tea tree shampoo for the nostrils and the external ear, one, we don't inhale when it's in the nostrils. We just, you know, we do it at the root, you know, down at the tip of the nose. Obviously, it doesn't go up higher. And then the external ear, we don't get it in the ear canal as well. So just for those people that are listening in. And, of course, the other thing is it's never a good idea to go out and buy yourself tea tree shampoo. Just assume you've got mites and just start treating it because, of course, anything done without a diagnostic proof you have something can cause problems, and then you can be causing problems without any reason because, indeed, you may not have the disease or the infection. So it's always smart to have an accurate diagnosis first before you start any kind of therapy, and have your therapy managed and monitored by your eye doctor.
Right. I think another thing that's smart to keep in mind is that you need to be diligent about keeping up with this. I mean, it's been 2 or 3 years since I had this diagnosis and initiated this treatment under your guidance, and I'm still at it. And I have not had a recurrence of this in the meantime. And I think that the reason for it is that I'm keeping ahead of it.
Absolutely. And although initially we'll start out more frequently, maybe twice a day, but once it's brought under control, we can decrease it to once a day, ultimately once a week, and so forth. So it's very much a situation where you monitor it and you wean down on this frequency of treatment to where it does not recur. And so, well, let's get back to the impact of therapy. How did it make you feel?
Well, I think that in a lot of things in life, it's sometimes a question of whether or not you find the treatment itself kind of obnoxious. This is not a big deal, you know. I mean, I still keep a small bottle of the tea tree shampoo in my shower when Sunday rolls around. Sunday is the day to take care of this, and there you have it. Similarly, you know, everybody's washing their bedding all the time, but doing it in the right temperature water can make a big difference.
And how are your eyes? No, any itching?
Oh, no, not at all.
No redness, no itching?
Oh, nothing.
And this could easily cause loss of your lashes. And you know, sometimes people are concerned their lashes are lost without any obvious cause. Again, diagnostics are key. Get in, you know, identify a eye doctor who can get in there and evaluate different causes of lost lashes and really figure out what's going on. Well, Shannon, I want to thank you so much for joining me today and our listeners and sharing your experience. You're obviously, I'm very proud of you. You're obviously well-educated as to the issues at hand, and because of that, you're taking excellent care of your eyes, and you've reaped the benefit.
Well, thanks, Dr. Maskin. It's been my pleasure.
Thanks. Have a great day.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. And What I'd like to do now is bring you up to date as to our, in our last couple of minutes. Next week, July 12th, guest expert is Dr. Dennis Ledford, and the topic is asthma in and out of pregnancy. For each of you that are dealing with asthma issues, whether it be maybe you don't even know if you have asthma. Maybe you've got symptoms of difficulty breathing. Maybe it's in the setting of exercise or cold, if you're up from up north and you're streaming this live on the internet, or if you know you have asthma, but you're not happy with the therapy you're on now, it's not quite optimized, and you'd like some input as to what could be altered or changed. Next week, we have an expert here and to answer your questions. And furthermore, talking about asthma and pregnancy and the issues surrounding asthma when you're pregnant. Join us next week for that. And I will want also to share one other thing. On August 30th, people have come up to me and emailed me about celiac disease, wanting an expert on celiac disease. We've just aired a show on August 30th, celiac disease, Dr. Dennis Feldman. That is the day to put on your calendars, to be able to call in and ask your questions. For me, it's Dr. Steve Maskin. I'd like to, once again, thank you for your time. Have a great week and a great 4th of July weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Why does everyone mumble so much?
Restaurants are so noisy.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that, please?
Sound familiar? Dr. Indira Alvarez, board-certified audiologist, can help you hear better today and change your life. I know what you're thinking, but with today's technology, advanced hearing instruments are small and discreet. Don't wait. If you're having hearing difficulties, call Alvarez Audiology for an appointment. 813-265-2255. That's 813-265-2255.
Hi, this is Chris Gould, and as a member of the National Religious Broadcasters, I have a question for you today. Are you praying for your local, state, and national leaders? Today, we all can agree that the United States of America faces challenges that seem overwhelming. But the ultimate solutions are not found in money, diplomacy, media campaigns, or political effort. As 2 Chronicles 7:14 reminds us, real change in our nation will only take place when God's people humble themselves and pray. When we recognize our need for God, repent of our own sin, and then ask God to have mercy on our families, our community, and on us. Repentance and change does not begin in Washington, D.C., but in the hearts and minds of God's people, both individually and in the church. Right now, Christians around the nation are taking part in 40 days of prayer. Join us and let revival begin with us, you and me.
There is a bank that's been in your community since 1942. They don't have free checking, and you never have to sit in their drive-through line. And they don't have money. They have something that's far more valuable. It's the type of asset that comes from people and it gets passed on to other people. What kind of bank, you say? A community blood bank. The Community Blood Bank. Florida Blood Services, a nonprofit healthcare provider that provides for the lives of thousands of patients in every Tampa Bay area hospital. Okay, so they're not a bank, but they depend on you if you're the giving type. And right now, there's an urgent need for O negative and O positive blood, for accident victims, for cancer patients, for life. So if you're the giving type and you have O negative or O positive blood, consider investing in Tampa Bay's Community Blood Bank, Florida Blood Services. For a donor center nearest you, call us at 1-800-68-BLOOD. That's 1-800-68-BLOOD. Or log on to fbsblood.org.
Don't let your health go up in smoke, advise America's Interventional Radio.